So the context of tonight's lesson is going to be about the power of our words and how we choose to use them, the influence it has on each other, and then I want to get a little bit into, I just kind of want to dive a little bit into technology and social media and how that has added another impact to our speech as it pertains to how we speak to each other, how we speak to people of the world, and just our communication in general and how it should be affected based on our faith and our interactions with each other. So in James chapter 3, verse 1, where our scripture reading came from today, this gives a good context for tonight's lesson. I would like to go ahead and read a passage from here. If you begin in verse 1 of chapter 3, it states, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horse mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they turn by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt and fresh." So, that was pretty intense, right? So to kind of lighten the spirit, I did want to do a little bit of research on the tongue itself. I know that I've read and I've heard before, the tongue is the strongest muscle in the body. So I was like, okay, let's figure this out. Let's do a little bit of fun research, find out what's going on with the tongue and the strength of the tongue. So just go ahead and let you know, that myth was debunked. It's not necessarily the strongest. And you have to understand that strength is a relative term, right? So you want to say, well, for pound, actually the heart, I think, is the strongest muscle in the body, pound for pound, because it's constantly going. However, one thing that I did find kind of interesting and seemed to kind of correlate with the passages that we're going to be studying here is the tongue has the ability to never be fatigued. And if anybody who ever had been blessed to have met my grandmother, bless and rest her soul, you understand exactly what we mean, right? So, what I want to talk about tonight is the context of speech, how it affects us in many different ways. Which one is on, Tim? Oh, I see. I got it. So there are many factors that influence our speech, right? Tone, gender, context, age, culture, right? So whenever you're engaged in communication with another individual or with a group of people, all these things must be taken in consideration. A good orator has been studied and versed on how we communicate, how we deliver our message, right? Whether it be you're speaking to a single group of an audience, whether you're speaking to all men or all women, whether it is a man speaking to a woman, whether you're crossing cultural boundaries, some words may be considered filthy in one language or one culture, whereas in others it may be considered acceptable. All things to be considered in the influence of our speech. I kind of want to focus on one word, though. So there is one word that can have many different meanings. It can be so powerful that just by stating this one word, there could be multiple explanations that you come from this one word. Okay? Now, I just put a word on the board there. This is the only time I'm going to ask you to participate tonight. I want you to read that word in your mind. Try to kind of read it out loud in your mind. Right? And now what I want you to do is, I want to raise your hand if, in that saying that word, hearing that word in your mind, it came with a negative connotation to it. Raise your hand. Okay, put your hands down. People are afraid to raise their hand for that one. Now, raise your hand if, in your mind, it was a positive connotation. Okay, so based on participation, I think people are kind of understanding that. Or you just raise, oh, somebody's raising their hand. I'm going to raise my hand. No. So, yeah, whenever Jessica says I'm fine, I have to think, wait a minute. Where did that come from? Another word, so. Right? You see that word. What does that mean? So or so? Fine. Or fine. Right? And then that mean that word can have different definitions altogether. Right? So what I want to focus on is in that speech, when we're thinking about how our speech, obviously, as God denoted, is extremely powerful, has the ability to create entire forest fires by one tiny spark. How is our speech important? So one aspect of speech that is very important is in the teaching and edifying of one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but it was good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Right? So, teaching and edification is important when we're conducting our speech with others. Here's a part I kind of want to get to as far as the... There's one passage, we read it in our context. It's in James chapter 3, verse 1. So, God holds teachers to a higher standard. Right? Is he just talking about those that were certified by the State Board of Education? Is he talking about those that have said, I'll teach a whole series or a quarter and Bible class on Sunday morning or Wednesday evening? Is he talking about folks that get up and get paid on a regular basis to preach? Is he talking about somebody who led a Bible study? Or is he talking about when you sit down at a lunch table with a coworker and all of a sudden the conversation turned to something religious you had no expect it was going to, and you became the teacher, didn't you? Or you chose not to teach. So, in effect, we all are teachers at some point in our life. Our speech, even when we're not trying to teach, right, can become a teacher to others. As an example of how we use our words, the words we choose to use. Right? So, although probably most likely in the most specific context, we're referring to those teachers in a more formal setting, I challenge you to understand that we all are teachers at some point, and our speech is always going to be important whenever we're trying to edify either another brethren, or when we're trying to edify somebody as a potential convert, or some stranger we cross on the street. There's a little phrase out there when we're kids that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me, right? Proverbs chapter 25, verse 15, I think puts a real interesting spin on this. By long forbearance, a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. So when we go back to that childhood phrase, we're usually kind of talking about, hey, you know what? You can say whatever you want about me. You can say whatever you want about my mama, but I'm okay. It doesn't matter, right? But I find interesting that what God is trying to point out here in a proverb is the fact that we can break a stubborn heart, right? With the right kind of speech, with a persuasive and a patient, a gentle tongue, even the most stubborn of hearts can be broken. Our speech has a lot of power to it. Our speech has the ability to wound or to heal. So, Proverbs, again, in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. How we choose to speak with one another, you can either cut somebody down or you can lift them up. You have the choice. How you say it, what you say, the words you choose. I want to focus for a minute on our speech when it comes to others, specifically those who are not believers, people outside of the faith, outside of the household of God. Grace and seasoned with salt, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. This passage states, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Right? So, when I dissect this passage, what I see is the idea behind grace. When we're speaking to somebody with grace in our hearts, and grace in our thought, and grace in our speech, I revert back to, well, where did grace come from? Grace comes from God. Who deserves grace? Raise your hand if you think you deserve grace. Raise your hand if you think because you're such a good person, you deserve grace. Or what does that mean? None of us deserve grace. Grace is a gift, right? An undeserved gift. When we speak with other people, we don't understand that we don't deserve it any more than that person you're speaking to. Does not matter if they're in a prison cell for murder, or they're a colleague, or they're a fallen brethren. Let it be seasoned with salt. Make it palatable, right? It does matter how you speak with somebody. Am I asking you to change the context of what God is telling you? Am I asking you to make it easier because you're taking things out? No, God has said that it does matter how you speak with somebody. God says that it does.